You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 96, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. My guest today says healing from our past is not only about the sins we committed against God or others, but sins that were committed against us as well. Now, joining me on today's show is Vanessa Abernethy. Vanessa is a clinical psychologist and liberation theologian whose aim it is to transform systems that oppress people, such that people might rise from surviving to thriving. I love that. She's also a third generation female preacher who is still in awe when afforded the chance to preach. Vanessa provides psychotherapy services to individuals, to couples, to families and children in her private practice, Phoenix Rising Psychological Services. Now, specifically on today's show, Vanessa is going to share the importance of discernment. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to dive deep into the importance of accountability, as well as the benefits of retreat life and so much more. Welcome to the show, Vanessa. Oh, look, my pleasure. I love to give our guests an opportunity to share what it was that inspired you to open your business. Obviously, you've got an incredible background in psychology. Was it something that you were always interested in as a child and therefore you continued your studies in? Or was it various aspects? Someone in your family maybe was in this line of business. How did the entrepreneurial journey pan out for you?
So I kind of chuckled there a bit because part of the interest when I was in high school, everyone came to me with their concerns. I was one to be trusted. I didn't blab a lot. Mm. I talked a lot, but I was able to hold things in confidence. Then from there, I became a public school educator. Mm-hmm. Because I really thought education was the key. It was something that was always really preached in our community, that, you know, in order to make a difference and to have a different life, you really needed to focus on your education. So As an educator and then a youth pastor, I saw that there was still something missing. They were bright. They were in faith communities. Mm. They were practicing some of the spiritual disciplines, but there were often interpersonal and intrapersonal issues that were hindering them. Mm. And so the missing piece was the psychological piece. So I wanted to provide a holistic approach to health and wellness, and it coincided with my calling for ministry. So mm-hmm. the umbrella is overall God's healing, and one of the ways in which God does that in the earth is through healing profession.
Yeah, fantastic. And thank goodness, because I know that when you just need to see and hear and observe, there are so many people struggling for answers, you know, answers. And, you know, it's all there, and so glad that you're going to share those insights. Now, let's talk about the importance of discernment. Maybe before we do, would you, so that we're all on the same page, just define discernment. What is discernment?
So discernment is really a matter of distinguishing between. Mm. When this has become, so we have our desires, right? And we have God's desires. And then we have some of those pullings and temptations that might be from the evil one or dark that really aren't life-giving. Mm. And then some that are just good ideas, but not really God ideas. And so the understanding, one of the things that I learned early in seminary was about the St. Ignatian prayer called the Examen, E-X-A-M-E-N. Mm. And it's just practice, almost a daily practice for 30 days, where you examine your day. When did I feel most alive today, most loved, most loving? And then when did I feel less loved and less loving, and as if the life was being sucked out of me? Mm. And the idea is to move towards what brings you more life and more love and more purpose. One of the books that I have referenced here, and I think I said a little bit about it in our early communication, there's a short book. It's very powerful, but very short. It looks like a children's book, and it's called Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life by Dennis and Sheila Faber-Catlin. And this practice has challenged me to be able to sit still, check in with myself, and notice the directions in which God has led me to what matters most and helps to fulfill my life's purpose. So that we start to understand that not all callings are a horrible cross to bear. It's really what is already in us, very particular to our personalities, our strengths, our talents. So much as not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, I love that. And how often do we, because of the things that we have on our to-do list and busyness and clutter, if you will, never really take time to be still and think about that? We're rushing from one process to the other, one project to the other. So was that something that you noticed you needed to set some real intentions around, or were you kind of the person that would do that anyway? And the reason I ask that is for many of us who are entrepreneurs, we've got ambitions, you know, we've got, and the healthy ambition, obviously, we've got dreams and visions that we know we want to build kingdom businesses. And often slowing down and doing that can be quite foreign to us.
Quite foreign and countercultural when it comes to being an entrepreneur. I have friends that I joke, if I see them online or on social media at a certain hour, I say, oh, they're keeping entrepreneur hours. Because for us, the day could easily go beyond 9 to 5, and it takes time to actually center ourselves. The blessing for me was that these practices, the practice of spiritual discipline, were instilled before I became an entrepreneur and even before I became a psychologist. I got my theology degree and then my psychology degree, so that all of my understanding comes out of my faith-seeking understanding of God. And as entrepreneurs, we usually have maybe 3 to 7 things in our head at once. And one of the things that helps, and I often share with my clients in my practice and even with my young children, is that, you know, the mind, usually, you know, depression is your mind too far in the past. What about, I wish this hadn't happened, I wish that hadn't happened. Anxiety is the mind too far in the future. What if this, what if this, what if that? But one of the best ways to bring our minds and ourselves into the present is to focus on how we're experiencing life through our 5 senses. And so it's almost humanly impossible to do that and not feel centered. So these spiritual disciplines have a way of grounding us in the moment. Where we can then, our mind can open up and we can be more creative and more authentic in our expression, even in the marketplace.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. And it's such a great reminder. And we're really called to also spend time and not worry about the future, not live in the past, because the enemy will often make us have guilt and shame around what happened and if only I didn't do this. And then in the future, you know, the anxiety. And God says, I am here with you right now. You shouldn't worry. And I know as entrepreneurs sometimes, you know, for me it was, what's the balance between planning and then giving it over, you know, to God? And I think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. One of the things that I learned was there are practical steps, things that we need to do as business owners, and we do them. But there's some things that are just in the realm of his, where he really puts his super or supernatural, if you will. Share a little bit more about that. How do you discern what you need to do and what you allow God to do? How do we discern between those two things?
Well, a part of it is to, I remember in seminary, it was in psychology, one of our professors talked about embracing our limits. And at this time, I was in a doctoral level program, and limits, that is not how we got to where we were. We got there by constantly going the extra mile, delaying gratification. But the invitation of the Spirit is to be present. So one, it does require, really having an honest assessment. The Bible says not to think more highly than ourselves than we ought, but it presupposes that we think high, highly enough of ourselves. So what is mine to do, and what is that thing that only God can do? So as entrepreneurs, we're usually creating something that is beyond us, right? Because it may be motivated by some external desire, something we can't control, or intrinsic motivation, where it's our passion, our joy, or pro-social. We're really big on that one, where if I make this change, if I create this product or this service, it's going to also benefit this person. And the intrinsic and the pro-social is really what keeps you going when the willpower waxes and wanes. And it also reminds us that we're part of something bigger.
Yes.
So for me, it's a matter of embracing my limits, but also having a realistic assessment of what is mine within my reach to do. And even psychology over the years has learned to respect the fact that these spiritual disciplines contribute to health and wellness. And that's not a single event. It's also connecting with other followers of Christ.
Speak a little bit more about that. What do you mean? It's not a single event, but also interacting with other followers of Christ too. Because, you know, a lot of people talk about collaboration, and I think especially supporting one another who are also kingdom business owners, you know, and other fellow Christians as well. Speak a bit more about that.
Well, one piece of it was the discernment process is not a single event. It may be private, but it's never personal. Just as sin is never, sin could be private, but it's never personal. Someone else is impacted by that. So if I am discerning God's will, just as the word of God was given to the people of God, it wasn't given to one person. It was always to a people to rightly discern. So I may have my quiet time with God, and I come up with this inspiration. I'm like, this is what I really feel compelled to do, what I feel called to do. And those who are within my immediate community, my accountability partners, my prayer partners, the ones who have discerned with me along the way, then they may, you know, they may challenge me, they may check me, they may get angry with me, which is also a healthy human command for us to be able to walk in unity. And it allows me to discern with. And then the collaboration piece, especially for us, there's this model that's out there in the world that there's a scarcity model. But in the kingdom, we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and that he always has more than enough.
Yes.
And so for us, if we ground ourselves in those truths, then that truth supersedes any feeling we may have or any cultural ideas that the community or the world at large may give us. So we actually move and live and have our being from a kingdom perspective.
Yes.
So there are ideas in you that have never even been spoken. And I always consider it this way. When we have that quiet time with the Lord, he's downloading those things to us so that they can get it to the earth. But it comes from discipline and practice, and it's not easy.
No, no, no. And it's just a great reminder, isn't it, that of the importance of reading his words, of prayer and meditation on a daily basis, because there are times when all of a sudden you have this thought and you think, where did that come from? As you say, it really is that heavenly download. And it's like, thank you. I would never have thought of that. And off you go again. But only if you know, able to quieten yourself so that you can have that discernment, because the enemy would have you running around. And I've done this too, in all sorts of directions. It's, all right, are you ready? And then God, you know, are you ready now to sit back and just let me, you know, take the reins, and I will direct you in the way. But so important. You mentioned accountability. It is so important. Share more about this, because this can be crucial as we're continuing to grow our businesses.
Well, I know you asked me if that was kind of some way about me. I was the opposite. I was the person that would have been, I've heard a sermon before, death by distraction. We really can.
Me too.
Overcome.
And if there's no distraction, we'll distract ourselves, right?
Right. Implode.
Yeah.
And so the accountability, you're asking me about the accountability. I grew up in a church where I was, well, first of all, I'm the oldest child, oldest of three, and I strained for perfection. right? In hopes of somehow not adding to the life of stress, you know, the stressful life of my single mother.
Yeah.
And I also falsely believe that if I just did everything right, I could avoid the chaos and pain that I witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth is, and I just accepted this in the last 9 years, is that we are not entitled to a pain-free life as followers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In fact, if we are to follow and not just believe, then we will go the way that he has gone. And he didn't stay there, but it was a way through suffering. And pain happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the suffering comes when we really feel that a sense of entitlement and why me and what did I do wrong? Because if I'm to blame, then I'm to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some suffering that comes from sin and missing the mark. But since it happens to everyone, we can then have the assurance that we're not experiencing that pain alone. So mm-hmm. too in business, I'm able to be vulnerable and accountable to others as I'm also accountable to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be that balance between David's encouraging himself, mm-hmm. right? And then the truth that one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000 to flight at the same time.
Yes. And, you know, I can think back to situations, challenges and obstacles and really painful ones, you know, on all levels. And once I've moved through that, in hindsight, we can see the character that has been shaped, you know, in us. And it stemmed from, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts, and I'll continue to mention it because I know that it's going to be an insight for someone. That was because I had my identity and success and significance not in him, but rather in external, you know, the success. So if this didn't happen, or if I worked towards a goal and I'd failed, that, you know, would implode me. And it wasn't till I realized, you know what, nothing that I can do, even the success, I've been gifted. The gifts and strengths that I have are not my own, but rather gifted for him. So that needs to honor him, you know, as business owners. And often we are reminded because of that, aren't we? Because if things flow too smoothly, we may assume that it is because of our strength. And God sometimes comes in and just reminds us that, no, it's not. It's actually his. Yes?
Right. I always say that, you know, God knows that because we have this level of independence and we are made in God's image where we can create, we forget that God's image is a collaboration.
Mm.
God's image is 3 in 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so community and interdependence and everyone kind of having, bringing strength to the table is the essence of who God is.
Mm.
So we know we are the church, but not alone.
Mm.
We can't be the church alone.
No.
We're a believer or follower, I can be.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I don't have hope or I don't have courage, but someone can have hope and faith for me as I work through my love relationship with God and sometimes just God's people.
Yes.
So we don't have to white knuckle it through this. Through this life.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a great reminder for me, you know, through the day, you know, we'll have opportunities and times that we block out for prayer, but even just talking and staying in communion, you know, with him. And it might just be a hey or whatever it is, you know, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but just like checking in, I love you, thank you, that kind of thing. And I often, and but we'll, this is for another show, but kind of think back to before the fall, you know, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they were in daily communion with him. I mean, and that's what it's going to be like, you know, in the second, you know, kingdom when Jesus returns, that we will constantly have that connection and really hear and hear him speak and so forth. And I can't wait for that day. But anyway, that's a whole other topic for another day. Let's talk about the benefits of retreat life. What do you mean by that?
So we all like to vacation, right? But a retreat is not a vacation. Usually a vacation is what I call it, you know, filled with all these excursions.
Mm-hmm.
We might tour a facility or a museum or go horseback riding. But a retreat is really an excursion.
Mm.
It is a time where we actually journey within and we have that contemplative life that really sustains. One of the things that I was really attracted to in seminary, and I'd never heard of growing up in my predominantly African-American church in Cincinnati, Ohio, was about these martyrs and how could it be that they suffered physically for their faith in ways that were beyond human ability. Well, most of them had that contemplative life. And so one of the things that was refreshing for me was to learn how to steal away. So I've been going on personal retreat, personal and or group retreat since, faithfully since about 1993. So my first was as a guild girl, as a teen, 13 years old in at my church in Cincinnati. Shout out to Bethel Baptist Church. And as a talker, I admit the retreat life is not always easy. It takes practice and courage to even enter into retreat because you have to, you know, courage is being afraid, but moving ahead anyway. So sometimes we're afraid of the noise that we have within our hearts and our minds. Sometimes we're afraid of the silence and what God might say to us, or even the healing and the things that we hold on to that God may want to take from us. So it's a acknowledgement that God is God and we are not. And there we do face that, you know, that silence. And so the group retreats are usually structured by the host, but the private individual retreats are an invitation to what I call waste time with God, right? To spend time with someone who desires to be with you and not have an agenda, or to put my own agenda aside. And so as a planner, as an entrepreneur, as someone who likes to try to organize things, that can be a big challenge. But what the retreat life allows is kind of like a reboot. There are times with our electronic devices, they don't function the way that they were designed or at their best. And we might turn it off and turn it back on. It doesn't change the device, but it does allow it to function more according to its design. And so that's what the retreat life often affords us. It's like a that reset. And to prepare us for the journey that lies ahead. There may be some sorrows ahead. There may be some celebrations ahead. There may be some victories in our business. There may be some lows in our business that ebb and flow. And the retreat life is kind of like a little pit stop. And it allows you to go forward. And I've never really been the same.
No. And so now when you look at your year, do you plan that throughout the year and have dates that you do that? Or is it over an 18-month period? How does that look for you now?
So there's a there's one women's retreat that I go to every year. It's in Myrtle Beach. And it's at the invitation of this smaller, you know, this ministry, a lay ministry. Actually, and it's called Circle of Friends, and we go to Myrtle Beach every year, and that's in March. And then sometimes you can just tell, like I used to go on personal individual retreat every July in the summer, but this year I actually went in November, and I took my oldest daughter with me, and it was her first time on retreat. She's always heard about my favorite retreat center. She's always heard about that journaling and all of those things. But this was her time to experience it, and we're actually going to host a mother-daughter retreat at my favorite center. It is there, but there'll be three generations, my mom, myself, and her. So
fantastic. You know, one of the things that, as you're sharing that about the retreat, I am, believe it or not, an introvert. I'm extroverted introvert, love to speak, but in the quiet moments, I need that quiet time, and especially in nature. And my husband and I will often go drive, and if there's trees around or the beach or whatever, as long as there's no other humans around, not that I don't like humans, but you know, that interaction, I just need to have that quiet. And I think that's what you're talking about, Reset. It refreshes the soul. And I'll often, you know, have prayers, and I'm quite quiet. My husband and I will drive. We don't necessarily need to talk. And it's such a, you know, an incredible opportunity. And I need that. We can often feel we need to go camping. It's camping time again. Yeah. That's our way of getting out and retreat. And it's just going somewhere out in nature. And I think what I started to notice is that we do notice things, the beauty in creation that we would normally just ignore, but just the beauty. And is that the kind of thing that you notice too? You notice things that you wouldn't normally notice.
Yes, because you're stepping away. First of all, depending on you know, the place. There's a sacredness to it, even if it's out in the big city on the mountain. You know, I moved back to North Carolina from L.A., and there are mountains all around Los Angeles, but we don't notice those because we look at all the concrete and all the hustle and bustle. But even if you get above the city and you're around something that you didn't create and no human being created, it is an invitation to just submit to that grandeur. And solitude is one of the spiritual disciplines. So even as an extrovert, when I go for my monthly massage, I have to make sure I put on the form. I don't want the person to talk to me. I talk and listen for a living. And for me to really be restored, I need silence. Because, and that's what the retreat affords you, a time to really be still and know that God is God.
Yeah, it's interesting it's you're talking kind of about. So true. I had a, I've got a close colleague, and she's an extrovert, and she loves to talk. And then we were talking about solitude and silence. I said, "That is for me bliss." She said, "Oh, that's terrible. I just have to feel that I talk." I said, "I've got so many voices inside of my head. I can keep myself busy for years." You know, we laughed, but it's true, isn't it? When we really need to look at how are we supporting ourselves and slot it into our time. And we say we're reminded in the Bible of how important it is, and that allows us then to have more discernment as we're creating or as we're developing that. And, you know, a lot of people say, I don't really hear God. Well, are we creating the space and time that will allow him to, or us to actually hear and see? Yes. Because sometimes it's not necessarily a voice that we hear, but rather in the interactions that are happening and the little cues. And sometimes you might hear a similar theme or topic. For me, it's three times in a row, and sometimes it can be within a day or two of each other. So, all right, I understand. I've got that one loud and clear. Would you share with us, Vanessa, how people can get in contact with you, how they can find out more about the work that you do? What's the best way for them to do that?
So it's interesting. So I do have a website, and my website is theabernathysidee.org. So I don't want to have to spell it out, but theabernathysidee, P-S-Y-D.org. And that, the Abernathy Side D, is my handle on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Vanessa R. Abernathy Side D. And I laugh because there are different pieces and ways that I interact on those platforms, depending on the social media medium, but also the audience that tends to gravitate in those places. That's where my tribe hangs out, so that's where I go.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll, of course, put all those details for you, Vanessa, on our show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE96. One of the things that I'm doing for all of my guests as we close the show is just to say a word of prayer. May I do that for you as well?
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
I never say no to that.
Oh, okay. No worries. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Vanessa and hear her testimony and her insights. Lord, growing a kingdom business and life can be busy. It can be difficult and filled with lots of challenges, but we're reminded so beautifully today that the importance of taking time out, quiet time, solitude, reading the word, prayer, so very important as we continue to discern and build the gift, strengthen the gift of discernment so that we can continue to hear what it is that you're speaking to us, that you're sharing with us. Father, we just want to continue to ask for your continued blessing and favor on the work that Vanessa is doing, for the retreat that she is planning for mother and daughter. Father, we just want to ask that you continue to uphold her as she's organizing this, and bless the women and the mothers and the daughters that will attend that retreat. Father, we ask this in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been just such a blessing and a reminder that it is so important for us to take time out. As an introvert, I'm all for that. I got no problems in that. But thanks once again. It's been great to connect with you today.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.